Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, I'm Terrence Zepke, and I'd like to welcome everyone to Terrence Talks Travel, Uber Adventures. Today I have the privilege of interviewing Peggy Goldman, who is the president of Friendly Planet Travel. She started her company more than 30 years ago, so she's got a lot of travel experience here. I think at that time she had 3 employees and maybe a dozen trips, and now she has a large staff and she offers more than 100 trips. And I wish we had time to pick her brain about all kinds of things. But unfortunately, today we're going to have to focus on just one thing here, one I really wanted to learn more about, and I think that you'll be excited to hear. It's their trip to Cuba. And it's interesting because I was just asking Peggy before we started the interview what one of her favorite places was, and she said Cuba. So we're going to get the lowdown on that today because there's been an embargo on travel to Cuba until recently. So most of us, including myself, don't know a lot. So this is going to be very informative for us here. So I'm going to have her talk about it here, but I will tell you it's a 9-day trip that departs from Miami, and anybody can go on this trip. Which, Peggy, how long is that flight from Miami to, I assume, Havana?
The flight, well, first of all, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it, Terrence. And the good news is that the flight takes a very short 47 to 55 minutes. It's a quick flight on modern equipment, and it's done via a charter that's usually from chartered planes from major airlines.
Okay, so there aren't any commercial flights into Cuba, so this is the only way you can go is with an authorized company that has these charter flights lined up, like your Friendly Planet company.
You could choose other ways to get to Cuba. If you're traveling on a licensed tour with a company like Friendly Planet, you can get there another way, but it wouldn't be a good idea because any other way that you would fly to Cuba involves a much longer flight. You would have to get from the United States to an interim country like Mexico or Jamaica or someplace in the Bahamas, or even some people have gone via Canada. The best, easiest, least expensive, least dramatic way and most organized way to do it is to hop on one of the charters. We use really reliable charters that have a fixed schedule. They're usually on time. They're not. They don't change their schedules very often. The service is good. It's a very short flight, and it's really the best way to go. And these are licensed by the U.S. government.
Okay, now you go year-round, but do you have certain dates that you recommend? I don't know anything about hurricane season or anything like that. Do you have certain times that you think are better to go to Cuba?
Cuba is hot all year long, but the best time to go in terms of the weather when it's the least hot and it's the least likely to rain on your head all day long is the season that goes from about the end of November till about the end of April. But even if it does rain, it's definitely worth going because, like many tropical countries, it may rain and then it'll stop. And sometimes the rain will have a very refreshing effect. And people really travel to Cuba year-round. So it isn't like in some parts of Southeast Asia where you might have monsoons that make it prohibitive to go. You can really go to Cuba anytime during the year. Anytime that you've got time in your calendar, hop on one of these programs and do it, and I hope you'll do it with us.
That's great. Now tell us, because there's a lot of paperwork involved with this because it is Cuba. So there's licenses and letters of authorizations, visas and so forth, but I understand Friendly Planet will just kind of step in and take care of all this for you, along with some kind of mandatory health insurance, and that's included with your package. Is that correct?
That's right. Everybody who goes to Cuba needs to have all kinds of bureaucratically arranged documents and the good news for travelers is that we take care of all of that. We arrange the visa, we arrange for the licensing and all the permissions. We have the license program. And when you go to Cuba, you have to have health insurance that the government provides. That doesn't mean you shouldn't get regular travel insurance, because the health insurance is actually for the protection of the Cuban health system. They don't want people just using it up. But for the most part, anything that you would need in Cuba, with a few exceptions, is covered in this program, including all of that bureaucratic paperwork that you would need to take care of. You don't need to be involved in any of that. We do all of that for our passengers.
That is just a wonderful, I mean, that would be just right there. And I know the price is a little higher, and I'm assuming it's because that you have all these licenses and paperwork, and because you have to have it pretty much all-inclusive, because we're not allowed, I don't know about other countries, but Americans aren't allowed to spend currency in Cuba. Is that
That's
correct?
Right.
A little bit, maybe?
That's you're allowed to buy things like paintings, books, you can buy educational materials, you can buy music, you can buy cultural things. You cannot buy commodities. You can't buy rum, you can't buy cigars. You can buy them, but you can't bring them back to the States. And there is a limit to the amount of money that you can spend. And we make all of these rules very easy for our passengers by including most of the meals and all of the activities. They're all wrapped into this the package price, so that we leave a few dinners open for people to explore this vibrant new restaurant scene that exists in Cuba. But for the most part, there's very little money that you'll need to spend. We even provide a little bit of Cuban money when people arrive. We exchange a little bit of money for them so that you don't have to go through a lot of hassle to get a few Cuban, they're called cucs, the Cuban convertible peso. And the nickname.
Oh,
is
let's
cool.
go back there, Peggy. Let's reassure everyone here. You can have all the rum and cigars you want while you're there, right?
Oh, yes, you can. You can party, and enjoy all of that to your heart's content. The only caveat is, because of the embargo, you cannot bring it back. And I'd like to say a word about the pricing. I think this is important. Cuba, because of the bureaucracy involved, is an expensive destination. We in the States have our own bureaucracy. The Cubans have theirs. And it makes the bureaucratic aspect of this type of travel makes it expensive. But there's also another aspect to it. People want to go to Cuba, and it's limited. There aren't that many places where you can join a tour to Cuba that's licensed. We at Friendly Planet are very, very happy to say that, despite the fact that the tour seems to be expensive, it's actually very, very competitive with the programs that are out there. We have our most expensive program is one called Colors of Cuba. It's the 8-day program, includes everything, and it's based on, this may sound like an oxymoron, but it's based on the best hotels that you can get in Cuba. We are using two 5-star hotels in Havana and a 5-star hotel in Trinidad. And most of the meals are included, all of the touring is included, and it's selling from $34.99 all-inclusive from Miami. So, and that is about $1,000, maybe even $1,200 less than the next tour of this same category. So it's
and people,
expensive.
I wonder, I want to be sure, though, that people know, though, that you all know what you're doing. And so it's not just the paperwork and lining everything up and getting on the plane. Once you get there, you're going to have a Friendly Planet guide as well as a local guide. You're going to be accompanied throughout the trip by knowledgeable people. You're going to be safe. It's going to be a fun trip. It's going to be a great trip. So they don't have any worries once they sign
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely.
Well, let's talk about this, though. Let's talk about this here. I want to talk about some of the fun stuff we're going to do. We've talked about all the paperwork
okay.
and the stuff involved, but what about this Rumba block party? I like the sound of that. That's one of the, that's one of the things
gosh.
You got included. So what can you expect? What is this? Is it really just a huge block party with a lot of music and a lot of
Listen,
energy?
Every little town and city in Cuba has music. Each place has something called the Casa de Música, which is the House of Music. There's a place, sometimes in bigger cities, there are many places where people gather in the evenings and they do music. They play music, they listen to music, they dance. Sometimes during the day, you can wander into one of these places and you can join, if you play the guitar, if you sing, if you want to dance, you can join in the fun. You can see, hear and see music in the plazas, but we include at least one of these experiences in our program because one of the most important things about the island of Cuba is the music, and the music is incredible. If you call us at Friendly Planet, and you have the luck of being put on hold, you get a chance to listen to some of it, because when we were there, we brought some back and we just couldn't resist. And it's on our music on hold, and people ask us, oh, put me on hold for a minute so I can hear this. And once you hear the music, you get the idea, because you'll see your feet are tapping and you're going to want to get up and dance. So everybody gets to do that. You have to. That's like a definition of Cuba.
Okay, so this really, what I get from you with this isn't really a vacation. This is a cultural immersion. So people are getting a real chance to be up close, learn about the Cuban people, their culture, their food, their music, all of the things. And so some of the other highlights that you have is something called a palador, which is a very unique experience I wanted you to tell everybody about.
Some years back when Americans started coming to Cuba, the government discovered that it didn't have enough restaurants, and they reluctantly allowed Cubans to open small restaurants in their homes. They called them paladars, which comes from the palate, pleasing to the palate. So they called them paladars. This has become a burgeoning, really fabulous entrepreneurial activity in Cuba. Family can put up a few tables in the living room, and mom or grandmom can prepare some of the wonderful dishes, or you can, some of them are even more established, and you're starting to see lots of really gourmet cuisine coming out of Cuba now as a result of this. And we go to many paladars on our tour because we want to patronize those people, and we want our travelers to get a sense of what food is like in Cuba.
And they're as good or better than what is actually what you call commercial restaurants. Am I correct? Because there's not a lot of that stuff in Cuba.
Right. The government runs all of the regular the regular restaurants, the regular in quotes. There are a few that are very good, but the paladars is where the real creativity in food is happening. And it's also where the entrepreneurial spirit of the Cubans can be easiest seen. So it's really a wonderful experience. You also get a wonderful opportunity to meet Cuban families, to talk to them. A lot of them speak English better than you would ever believe, since most of them have never been off the island. The most important thing to know about these tours, Terrence, is that you know yourself as a world traveler, that people who travel because they want to experience the world, want to get up close and personal with people, the culture. They want to understand how people live in other parts of the world. We really revel in those kinds of experiences. And that is precisely what you do in Cuba, much more than any other place that I can say that I've ever visited. The license that we have to follow mandates that, and we have the big fun of doing exactly that on all of these Cuba tours. It's really wonderful.
Well, let's talk about some of the other highlights here, because you go to Hemingway's Cuba retreat.
Yes.
Now, how long was Hemingway in Cuba?
Well, he wrote his most famous book, The Old Man and the Sea, there in Cuba. And when we're there, we go and we visit his place, which he called Finca, which is the Spanish word for farm, Vigia. And there you see his house. You see all of his huge hunting trophies. And for me, one of the coolest things was to see his typewriter. He wrote everything standing up. So you see his typewriter off there in his workroom, and he would throw the pages down on the floor if he didn't like them. And the place has been, it's really an interesting thing to see. The place has been meticulously maintained, and it's a wonderful experience. People who love Hemingway love the experience of going there. You get to see his boat, but that's like for starters. You also get to see something that I don't think you can see in other places, because of when the Soviet Union stopped being the patron of Cuba, the Cubans had to invent a way to grow fruits and vegetables. They could no longer afford fertilizer, and they developed this amazing series of techniques with organic farming that is actually a model for the world. And they use these techniques in these tiny little farms that are actually in the city. Whatever little sliver of land they can find, they turn into this farm, and they call them organoponicos. There you see state-of-the-art organic farming with developed worm beds, and they mulch everything. And people come, instead of having to go to the government stores, they come to these little farmers markets, and they buy their fruits and their vegetables and their chicken and their eggs and their meat from these places. And people who can take advantage of these small farms and small farmers markets are able to eat much better than people who don't have access to that and have to go to government stores, which are notoriously not very full of the necessities of Cuban life.
That sounds wonderful, though. But tell me, before we run out of time, though, I want to hear about Trinidad, because I understand that there's a really, really nice, exceptional place that you stay there that's worth us talking about for a minute here.
Hotels in Cuba, you do have some lovely hotels in Cuba. The lovely hotels are all featured on this program called Colors of Cuba. The entire Colors of Cuba program is built around one hotel in Trinidad called the Iberostar. And the reason that we do that is Trinidad is probably the best preserved Spanish colonial town in all of Latin America. And if it's not the best, it's among the best. It's a beautiful little town, very colorful, and the Spanish architecture is very well maintained. And it's small enough that you can hang out at the local music house, and really, it's one of the places that we go to the rumba party, because it's the locals of the neighborhood going to this party, and you really get to jam with them. The hotel where we stay is a beautiful, small, 5-star hotel within walking distance of the old colonial town, and it's the cobblestone streets from the Spanish period. People are very friendly. You have a huge exposure in Trinidad to the various Afro-Cuban religions that have arisen because of the mix of people in Cuba, and it's really one of my favorite places.
Okay, now tell me, what's in Santa Clara? Is that one of your
Santa
stops?
Santa Clara is one of these, one of the cities that we pass through. It's the city that Che Guevara came from. it's the the reason we go to Santa Clara is that we're driving en route to Trinidad. It also has an unbelievable music school where the students at this music school interact with our groups. They explain how they benefit from the Cuban music system, which is very rich and very beautiful, and they perform for us. And it's probably one of the most surprising experiences that our passengers have to meet these kids, see how talented they are, and understand what music is. It's like music, art, culture in general in Cuba is everything to these people. They're very proud of how they pass these things down to their children. And when you think that Cuba is a place where the kids don't have Xboxes and iPads and all of that, they do these other activities instead. And the Santa Clara Music School, it's the Santa Clara Music and Performing Arts School, is really one of the best anywhere. So that's really a great reason all by itself to go to this town.
Okay, well, I tell you, we're running out of time here, but I did want to just ask if there's anything else that you'd like to share about this trip before we close. Is there anything we haven't hit on that you feel like you've got to get in there?
I hope that whoever is listening that wants to go to Cuba will give us a call. Even if you're not ready to book, it's 800. Is it okay if I give the 800 number?
Oh, sure, sure.
It's 800-555-5765. Everybody here loves to talk about Cuba. If you want to know more, even if you're not thinking about going, give us a call. It's one of our favorite subjects here at Friendly Planet. There's lots of stuff on our website. It's friendlyplanet.com. And we are ready to talk to anybody and explain what it's like to go there. It's happy. It's friendly, it's colorful, and if you've got the travel itch, you've got to go to Cuba.
Well, I tell you, Peggy, I'm ready to go. This sounds like an Uber adventure. And so I'm very excited that I had a chance to interview you and inform everybody about this great trip. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but I'm very selective with the companies I've picked to be on the show. Because adventure travel is so complicated, there's a lot involved, and I just want to make sure I have highly reputable companies and very good itineraries that represent the places. And so I can speak to the fact that Friendly Planet definitely does their research. They put together great trips, and they just hold your hand throughout the whole process. So I'm very much a supporter, or I wouldn't have had you on the show. And so
I appreciate that.
And I don't work for Friendly Planet. I do not work for Friendly Planet. I'm saying all of this on my own. But there is on friendlyplanet.com, if you want to get a detailed look at the itinerary, it breaks it down, everything that you'll do, and you will be busy every day doing all kinds of great stuff. And just every day will be its own adventure. And so you can go to their site, and I think they have videos and they have information about how deposits and visas and packing tips and so forth, or you can call them, like Peggy said. Also, if you want some more travel information, you can find it on www.terrencetalkstravel.com, and I will have links to this information on my site as well. And so thanks for tuning in today, and stay tuned. I'll be back soon with another episode of Terrence Talks Travel, Uber Adventures. And as Dr. Seuss says, I always like to close with this, Peggy, you're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting, so get on your way. Thanks for joining
Amen.
Us. See you next time.